The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, dental care for your dogs is a year-round necessity for their overall well-being. And here to talk me through the importance of it is Dara O'Hanlon, who's a vet based in Nutgrove Veterinary Hospital. Dara, you're very welcome. Do I have to go home now and brush the dog's teeth?
Oh, it's a great question. It's a great question, Claire.
Is that what we're supposed to do, though?
Really, it is. And, you know, we are a nation of pet lovers. Like, that much is absolutely clear. I think up to 80% of pet owners are going to celebrate Christmas with their dog. They'll get a Christmas present. Two-thirds of owners are going to get their dog a birthday present. So, you know, I can tell you this story firsthand, and I have permission to share this, but I remember an owner coming to me and saying, oh, I celebrated Abby's birthday yesterday. And I thought, okay, maybe a birthday cake or something like that. But no, a stretch limo was hired and a restaurant hired out just to celebrate this dog's birthday. Yes, absolutely.
A restaurant for humans.
Yes, genuinely, genuinely. And other than I saw these videos and photos on her phone, I wouldn't have believed it. But I think Irish people, like, we love animals, that much is clear. I know you've done lots of good work in terms of promoting animal welfare. And I thought, what better thing to discuss today than dental health, because February is Dental Health Month. And unfortunately, up to 90% of all dogs and cats are going to be affected by dental disease. So it's a really common problem.
Uh-huh. So they're going to get toothache just like we do, except they can't tell us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in terms, like, you look at any of the studies we have, the top three reasons why dogs, cats are going to come into a vet clinic, like, some of them are going to be things like skin disease, gut disease. We've all seen dogs where their tummies are upset, but dental disease is number one, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And how would I know that the dog has a toothache?
Well, this is the amazing thing. What we want to do is try and prevent us getting to that point at all. So we know that dental disease is always slowly progressive. We also, vets would have thought this for ages, and nurses, so we would have thought that there are some breeds that are more likely to succumb to dental disease. So think of your shorter, smaller type breeds like a Yorkie or a Cavalier King Charles. Also, an outlier there would be greyhounds. We'd see quite a lot of greyhounds with dental disease. And interestingly, on the flip side, you'll have dogs where they won't show dental disease as much. So, for example, German Shepherds, Labradors, and interestingly, because French Bulldogs are very low down on the list of dogs who have dental disease, whereas they have lots of other problems.
Mm-hmm.
So what we really are trying to do from the vet side is that every time we get a chance to examine your animal, we're trying to figure out, okay, how are the teeth looking? Because the problem, much like in humans, is a combination of genetics, which is why we think breed is so important, but also then plaque building up on the teeth and causing inflammation. So what owners might see, if it is that there are signs of dental disease, would be sometimes the very obvious things, but this would tend to be later on in the disease. So, you know, seemingly not favouring dry food, favouring wet food instead, or
because
soft food.
Dry food's hurting them when
exactly,
they eat it.
Yeah. Exactly. But other times it's a lot more subtle. So you might have a dog where they just aren't gaining weight as much as you would expect. Or maybe there's reduced interaction with the owners, or you know, if anyone has a cat, they'll be familiar that they will mark, you know, the edge of furniture with their scent glands behind their whiskers, and they might stop doing that. Or maybe perhaps a dog around its muzzle, you'll see hair loss because it's scratching or pawing at its face, but maybe at a very low level. And you know, I know you were talking yourself about, I believe you have pets.
Yeah, but with two Labradors, but we've never really invest in their dental health. Like, that's something that we've obviously overlooked in our house, thinking that if you give them dry food, that that's doing a job. Or, you know, those treats that are specifically for dental health, or that's what it says on the box. Does that do a dental job for you with the dogs?
It does. And it's really interesting. If you were to approach things perfectly, it would be that if you can manage to move slowly with your pet and get them used to you know, your fingers basically being inside their mouth, on their teeth, on their gums, but work slowly, have a positive reward at the end of it. So if you're lucky enough that you have a Labrador, they're definitely going to be food orientated.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can reward them afterwards using your finger as well at the start. Don't go straight for the toothbrush. Toothbrushing is gold standard. It's best practice when it comes to reducing the effects of dental disease on dogs. And it's particularly effective for the front half of the mouth. Very rarely, very rarely you'll have dogs who absolutely love toothbrushing. They're almost like a sea lion where their mouths are opening up and you can get to the inside aspect of the teeth. But that's not as important in dogs as it is in humans. So if you're anyway successful, fantastic. But I wouldn't beat yourself up. You know, over half of owners will report that they're unable to brush their dog's teeth. Mm-hmm. And nearly 10% will say, OK, well, I actually didn't even know it was possible. And dental chews, as you rightly mentioned, Claire, they're excellent. You have to be careful. You and I could make a dental chew in the morning and we could put all sorts of claims on it, but not all of them will do what they say in the tin. If it is that you see a product and you like the look of it, you could simply ask the manufacturer, hey, does this work? And otherwise, there's this beautiful resource, the Veterinary Oral Health Council, and they have a list of products that will work. And, you know, have a look at that list and see which ones.
Okay, so you're not writing those off. You think that in some cases they will work.
Oh, yeah. Now, sometimes they work too well. And that I've been guilty of this. I've said to owners, okay, yeah, have a look and look at this dental chew. And the next year, the dog comes back for their vaccines and they're a little bit plumper because unfortunately, they're quite some of them can be quite calorie dense. You do have to be a little bit careful.
Mm-hmm. One a day? Too much?
One a day is perfect. And if you're not sure as well, have a look at the packet. Maybe if it's a smaller dog, use half of it, something like that.
Yeah. And just going back to the brushing, we don't use human toothpaste for this, do we? Is that safe? Or unsafe?
It's a great question. So generally, human toothpastes are regarded as unsafe because they have things like baking soda. Some of them have some detergent, fluoride, things like that. And that can cause gut issues in dogs. Really, to be honest, what might be better would be even just dipping a toothbrush in tuna juice or chicken broth or something like that.
Oh, nice smelling breath after that.
There you go. Absolutely. You know, and I know some people are really put off by tuna juice. So maybe we'll lose the ability
to... Why tuna juice?
Just dogs love it. Cats love it. You know,
So we're just trying to get around them, really, with what we're using.
Well, that's it. It's that whole concept of positive reward. So if they can really start to embrace the concept of a toothbrush being against their teeth, up against their gum line, because you need to try and get up towards the gums to try and be effective. And you don't have to go and break the bank. You can get a child's toothbrush, just the kind of semi-soft nylon type toothbrushes. And for, say, a cat or a very small dog, an infant toothbrush would be fine.
Mm-hmm. What's going on if a dog has red inflamed gums and they're not that nice pink colour that you would expect?
Yes, well, so from the vet point of view, statistically, 80% of cats by the age of three, 85% of dogs by the age of three, they will have dental disease. And exactly as you point out, Claire, there's going to be inflamed gum lines. You and I would call this gingivitis. And that's more than likely when your vet is going to recommend to you, okay, we might need to take a look here. And because we can only assess so much of the tooth consciously, so for example, we can only see 40% of the tooth visually, 60% of the tooth is hidden above the gum line. So usually what happens is under a brief anaesthetic, we probe each tooth individually. Some places will offer dental x-rays and that way you're able to assess the health of each tooth and then clean and polish them and hopefully restore them to natural mm-hmm. health.
But you're into quite a lot of cost then, you know, if you're heading down the road of x-rays and all of that treatment, that is going to rack up, isn't it?
Absolutely. So it's more so an investment. I remember earlier in my career, I was almost apologetic about dentals. And I would say, okay, let's see how we're looking next year, next year, next year.
Yeah.
The challenge is that dental disease is always progressive. And if we take that approach, ultimately, we're going to have much more work to do. Whereas if we can intervene sooner, we should have less work to do.
Okay, now, the listener's giving us advice here now. And I want to get your take on this. Mm. Don't feed highly processed kibble. Feed proper fresh food, preferably raw, and give raw meaty bones. Now, we can't give bones to our dogs because I know what's going to happen. We had an issue with one of them once. What's your take on bones for dogs?
Yeah, so there are studies done on this. So unfortunately, bones, at best, what they will do is that they will reduce what's called tartar or calculus. So that is a cosmetic type issue. That is the buildup of tartar on the teeth itself. They don't actually improve dental health. So, and even if you look at the studies of wild animals who are eating those kind of products or eating raw food or bones, the incidence of dental disease is still there. So it's not that this is some kind of an elixir or anything like that. In general, dogs, the evidence is slightly skewed here, but in general, dogs will do better with dental disease if they're fed a dry food diet.
Okay. But bones can be dangerous as well for dogs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Getting stuck in tummies.
Yeah, absolutely. Like unfortunately, I've had to perform surgeries on dogs to take bones out of blocked intestines. even things like antlers, which are sometimes used as a dog chew or purported to be a dental aid. They are well recognised as causing fractures of teeth really far back in the mouth. So you're right, it's not without its risk. It's not something I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have another dog here, a listener's dog, who likes to drink the toilet water.
Oh my.
So any chance he gets, he's doing that. He makes a beeline for the toilet. So brushing of his teeth is absolutely necessary. So gross. There you go. You've got one person who's doing it. We all might try and give it a go. Dara, thanks so much for coming in. Dara O'Hanlon there, who's a vet based in Nutgrove Veterinary Hospital. And that brings us to the end of the programme. Thank you very much to all of you who got in touch today. And if you missed anything, you can listen back on the Go Loud app. May I recommend the interview with Dervla Meskel, which I feel was a highlight today. It was just lovely to meet her and talk to her about her book, Finding Joy. The team today, Cormac McDonagh on sound, producers Alex Russo, Dee King and Helena O'Toole, research by David O'Connor, and our broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane. Andrea.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.